This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Paul Kennedy, host of Ideas on CBC Radio 1. Ideas is a show about contemporary thought. We tackle big questions like, is war ever justifiable? And we also play with smaller ones like, why can't I carry a tune? Shake up your worldview with us, Ideas, Radio for the Mind.
We have to talk about shame. Shame feels the same for men and women, but it's organized by gender. For women, shame is do it all, do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat.
That is social work researcher Brené Brown talking shame. Consider the case of Amy Rowe in a Starbucks after a run, sweaty. Then came the comments from a well-dressed woman standing in line that sounded to Amy like they were meant to shame her for daring to perspire in public. The result is a debate over sweat shaming and whether the whole idea of shaming is being pushed too far. Also this morning, a bizarre court case in Britain involving blindfolds, hidden identity, and a conviction for sexual assault, one that has the tabloids buzzing.
The victim, when she was giving evidence in court, told the jury, listen, I know it sounds crazy, but I was in love with this guy. I thought we were going to get married. He'd sent me a ring. I was willing to do anything in order to meet him and to hold him.
The anything involved wearing a blindfold every time she met the man she was dating. But that man turned out to be a woman, one of her close personal friends. Now that woman, Gail Newland, has been convicted of sexual assault, and transgender activists are worried about how the judge's ruling might affect them. That's in half an hour. Also this morning.
The thing is that you make peace with your enemies. You don't make peace with your friends. And I sit down with Park because they are my enemies, and I said, let's make peace because it's a good business for both.
Colombia's president isn't making a sentimental pitch for peace, but if it helps bring an end to 50 years of brutal fighting, then many Colombians will take it. The Colombian government and the country's biggest rebel group, the FARC, say they have a final agreement on a plan to not only bring an end to the conflict, but to bring the perpetrators of a half century's worth of atrocities to some kind of justice. We'll delve into that story in an hour, but we begin with a showdown at Starbucks. I'm David Common. This is the Friday edition of The Current. About 3 weeks ago, a sweaty Amy Rowe was waiting in line at a Starbucks in Seattle, Washington. She'd been out for a run, and as she stood there in her sweatshirt and baseball cap, she heard the comment, "You look like you just did a class or swimming." It came from a nicely dressed woman commenting on her appearance. Amy Rowe didn't quite know what to say. Later, she decided there was a name for what had just happened. She had been sweat-shamed. Amy Rowe is a writer as well as a runner, so she put fingers to keyboard and wrote an article about her experience for the British newspaper, The Guardian. That column stirred up a substantial reaction. Amy Rowe joins us from Seattle to talk about it. Hello.
Hi.
So when you first heard that in Starbucks, what was your reaction?
Well, I was kind of surprised that someone was speaking to me, and I didn't really know, you know, kind of what was going on. And then when she continued to say, or swimming, I felt like she was sort of staring at me and really making a point that, wow, you look different. You look kind of like you don't belong here.
And then you came up with a name for that, sweat shaming. Why?
Well, I didn't come up with that name, Okay. Actually. I'd heard that before. Mm-hmm. And right after it happened, you know, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this is sweat shaming, like this process of how I'm feeling and what she said, because I felt like her intentions were to disapprove of how I looked.
And why do you think it's important to talk about it? Because you went on and wrote this article, which has got a lot of buzz.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of it is people are trying to, you know, be healthier and accept their bodies and kind of be outside. And I think we still get messages that we don't look okay while we're sweating or exercising, or that's not appropriate to for a woman or for an individual to sort of show their effort or to show kind of what it's really like. Like, it's one thing to be, you know, working to be in Starbucks with your athletic gear, but it's another thing to be in Starbucks with your athletic gear having actually worked out. And so I think I was kind of half in jest, but really, truly, I did feel ashamed and I did feel embarrassed. And I wrote this just to kind of explore those feelings and my reaction and to talk about, you know, how we might reframe this or how I might reframe this.
If you'd been a sweaty man instead of a sweaty woman, do you think it would have been a different reaction?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't really say, but I know that I've had a lot of comments from men who've said, you know, this isn't just a women's issue. This is a, you know, a human issue. And I think that's absolutely true. I think that all people, you know, potentially could be affected by body shaming and stigmas around their body. And I think that there's definitely a stigma to sweat. And I've heard from a lot of people who say, yeah, there is a stigma to sweat. You're not supposed to sweat too much. And people find it gross and they'll express that in different ways.
And how do you respond to people who say it's gross?
Well, I mean, I want to be clear. I took great pains to cover up. I did not run in a sweatshirt and a baseball cap. Those were actually things I put on later. But, you know, my hair was wet, and I think that was sort of the thing that I couldn't cover up. You know, I could not fully, you know, hide the fact that my hair was wet and therefore, you know, I was sweaty. And I think that the fact that I felt so compelled to cover up and I still failed, you know, I think that was partly why I wrote this, which is that despite how far we go to try to fit into these norms, you can't, you know, and cover up, we still inevitably will fail and people will call us on it. And when that happens, I think that's shaming. And I think it's counterproductive. And, you know, people have said to me that, you know, it takes two for shaming. And I absolutely agree with that. And I'm really putting this on myself. Like, how can we all think about our bodies differently? Because it's totally normal to sweat, and I don't think it's gross or disgusting, and I don't want to internalize that belief at all.
And lots to talk about around body and shame, but some people might come out and say sweat shaming isn't real, or that it's a slight that ends up diminishing the suffering experienced by people who've actually been subjected to more harmful forms of body shaming. You know, for instance, fat shaming. How do you respond to that?
I think sweat shaming is absolutely related to fat shaming and body shaming. I think that, you know, I don't want to minimize the very real slights and the very real harm that shaming behaviors cause. Maybe this is the least of them. I don't know. But this is something that happened to me, and it caused me to have more empathy for other people and how what they might be experiencing when people, you know, try to shame them or, you know, try to imply that their bodies are not okay or not accepted. I think part of the reason why so many people have responded to this in a way is because it's still difficult to talk about our bodies and what's acceptable. And I think that, you know, people don't want to be told, you know, that it's not okay to pass judgment on other people, or people, you know, people just don't want to go there. This is a difficult topic, and people say, oh, just get over it. And I think that some people don't want to engage on this because it actually does really hit home, because this sort of thing does actually happen every day. And if we have to change our behavior around that, or if we want to, that's a difficult thing to do. We have to change how we think.
Well, let me pick up on changing behavior. Are you still going to that Starbucks?
Yes.
Would you recognize that woman if you saw her?
Well, would I recognize her? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah. Would you say anything to her?
No, because I think through this process of writing this and talking about it, I think partly what I decided to do and what I talk about in the article is that I really want to change, you know, how I think and model behavior where I'm not ashamed and that it's perfectly okay. And I think that the best thing for me to do is to show that, you know, I'm not ashamed of being sweaty, and I'm going to try to be courteous and cover up just like I do all the time and try to, you know, you know, not offend anybody. But at the end of the day, I don't think sweat's offensive. I think it's natural. And I think I'm going to continue to act that way because that's what I believe. And that's what I want other people to think, too.
Amy, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Amy Rowe is a writer and runner in Seattle, Washington. Well, Amy Rowe's column has sparked a heated debate about exercise, privilege, gender equity, and whether the idea of shaming is being pushed too far. For their thoughts on those questions, we're joined by two people. Shireen Ahmed is a sports activist, athlete, and writer. She is in Mississauga, Ontario. And Jonathan Kay is the editor of The Walrus. He is with me in our Toronto studio. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Good morning, Dave.
Shireen, maybe we can start with you. What is your own personal experience? Have you been sweat shamed?
I read Amy's article and it really resonated with me. I have, and I didn't actually think about it as much until I read her piece and I thought, oh, wow, I can really, really relate to this. I do. Amy said that she can't actually cover her hair. I actually do cover my hair. I wear a hijab when I work out. And all the time. And I still had someone say to me, oh, do you want some water? And I replied, only if I can dump it over my head. Because, you know, you've just worked out. And the idea of working out is great to everybody. But the actual rollout of that process is pretty gross. I mean, it looks gross, right? So I was pretty taken aback. And it's more body language, you know, if you're in line to get a smoothie or whatever. People sort of step back a little because you're not glowing, you're actually sweating. So I definitely could relate to what it means.
And John, you're here in studio with us. What's your take on the idea of sweat shaming?
Well, look, we can't take the concept of shaming so far that anytime anybody expresses any form of mild disgust, we consider it a form of shaming. As if it's kind of like akin to racism or something like that. But it absolutely is true that there's this weird thing in our society that we're obsessed with people being fit. We're obsessed with them getting exercise. It's a dominant thing in our society. And yet at the same time, if anybody breaks the mold of being sort of perfectly coiffed, well-dressed, you know, looking like they just stepped out of their home ready for work, you do feel self-conscious. And I guess, I mean, that includes me. I bike to work. And the only reason I bike to work is because work happens to be downhill from where I live. And so I can go to work. I'm not particularly sweaty. And then when I get home, then I get a lot more exercise. But if it were reversed, if my work were uphill, I probably would not bike to work because I know I'd get to work drenched in sweat. No one would particularly be impressed by that. And by the way, there's no shower at my work. And sometimes I talk to employers and they say, you know, how can I encourage my employees to get more exercise? One of the best things you could do is actually install infrastructure so that people could bike or jog to work and then actually get dressed there. I worked at the National Post when we were up in Don Mills. There were 400 people in that office. There was one shower that didn't work properly. Some of my colleagues biked to work. They would have loved to take a shower at work before they stepped out with their colleagues, but they couldn't.
Shireen, why are you particularly self-conscious after sweating when you're not in a gym or a yoga studio? Where's that come from?
Well, I think there's a couple places where we're sort of quote-unquote allowed the permissibility for, and I can only speak to my experience and those of women or that I speak to about this, because we engage in these type of discussions about it often, I mean, my friends online and whatnot. There's places where you're exempt from this. One would be the gym. One would be like a sweat lodge if you're participating. But if you step outside those places, then it's exactly what Jonathan said. It's this idea of what you should look like or a woman can look like. And as a woman, you know, you're bombarded with what we should be glowing. And you know those people that work out and are beautiful and flushed and photogenic. I'm not one of those people. Even though, like I said, I wear it under like an underband under my hijab, and then it absorbs a lot of sweat, so it's not actually running down my face. I find women always patting themselves down in the gym with a towel. They're always, you know, their neck, their face. The men that I work out with don't do that. I'm in a circuit training class. The men can't be bothered. Some have towels around their necks, but they're not incessantly wiping away like women are. And that's even in that allow mobile space. I think it's considered gross. It's one of those topics like sweating is perspiration is one of those topics like menstruation. It's gross and healthy, but nobody, you know, it's healthy and normal, but nobody wants to talk about it or acknowledge it.
But specific to women.
I mean, men sweat as well. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this isn't an issue for men, but the shaming that the discussions I've had in the last couple of days since Amy's article came out, I generate a lot of discussion in groups that I'm on, women's groups on Facebook, and that are women only. And we've been talking about it, and women are saying that, yeah, we feel really shamed. Men don't have the same expectations. My husband works that all the time. He's not incessantly aware of how he looks to others, or he might not care as much because he's like, no, it doesn't bother me. And I'm a little bit more, my senses are heightened into words what people might think. And like Amy said, I need to get that out of my head. But I mean, I do disagree with Jonathan. Shaming is a thing. And I mean, I think it's a bit, it's not okay to reduce people's lived experiences. If someone feels belittled or humiliated publicly in some way, there's a way to express that. And the word is shaming.
John, you want to pop in?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, okay, but if everything becomes shaming, the word becomes meaningless, like so many other words that get thrown around. What I would say, I agree with you in terms of the gender thing. When I'm at the gym, if you're a guy, it's like a point of pride. If you're drenched in sweat, it means you've had this super intense workout. And I can see guys, they're almost like peacocking their sweat. They're like, check it out, my entire t-shirt is drenched. There's not a square inch of dry cloth on this t-shirt. That's how intense I am about my workouts. Whereas with my wife, it's very different, and it is, they're more self-conscious. With guys, it manifests itself more in an office thing, because if you're sweating, like typical office, you'll see a woman is wearing a shawl or a blanket because the thermostat is too low for her. But a guy like me, I actually like the office temperature at like 16 degrees. And if you're sweating, there's different stigmas. It means, you know, maybe you're nervous, maybe you're unscrupulous. A sweaty handshake is the worst thing you can do. And when you travel, it's a big deal because every guy wants to be like George Clooney and up in the air, right? Like cool, calm, and collected. Mm. I'm a guy, I take a 1-hour trip and I get off the plane, I look like I've slept in the departure lounge for a week. I mean, it's a challenge to live up to that stereotype of the traveler who's impeccable. But if you're a sweaty guy and if you're in a airliner cabin, you are not going to get off, go to your business meeting, go to your media appearance, and look your best. And that's the way the stereotype manifests itself for men. I wouldn't call it sweat shaming. I would just call it people looking at you like, well, that's not the GQ image we expected.
I mean, so the comment in the case of Amy Rowe is you look like you just came from a class or swimming. On some level, are we just becoming too sensitive? Shireen, what do you think?
No, I don't think so. I disagree with what Jonathan's saying in the sense of how people, their experiences are different. Some are more perverse, some are more intense, and women might feel it. Like, I would say I do feel shamed about sweating, and the women I spoke to also feel that. Sometimes it can be said, it's an excuse for people to minimize the experiences of others. And when people are saying, usually who don't have a platform, a large platform or whatnot, are saying this is our experience as a group that feels humiliated or doesn't have, you know, the majority opinion, then it's reduced notice isn't as big as racism. I mean, it's not the same parallel. No one's likening it to racism or fat shaming, but it is something that happens. And all those experiences are legitimate. You can't delegitimize someone's experience and how they feel and how they've been in a social situation. And it's not just about vernacular. It's shaming is an actual thing that occurs when someone is made to feel, you know, out of order or out of place in something. And it's not. In this case, it's sweat shaming because it's a completely, I mean, you can't control your sweat glands. It's going to happen. You're going to sweat. And women get, body language is different. And I agree with Jonathan, and office dynamics are different. But in the context of working out, women are expected to, you know, be padded in beautiful Lululemon stuff, always looking gorgeous. That's not the reality at all. And I like Amy's sweat shaming thing. It got me thinking. It started a lot of conversations. And that's really, really healthy. To say, well, listen, so I vowed not to pat myself down when I'm working out next time, just sort of in rebellion, I guess.
So Shireen, what would you do if you were in line and at Starbucks and someone asked you if you've just worked out or if you've just been to a class?
Well, that did happen. did happen to me once, and this woman was very, and she was with a man, and they kind of snickered, and she said, "Would you like some water?" Because I mean, I can't say I was heaving. I mean, no one's going to walk into like a coffee shop immediately after when they're still heaving. Well, I wouldn't. I went in. I like Amy. I had my hoodie up. You're trying to sort of make yourself as invisible as possible because you're not at your
trying to fit in.
Considers. Yeah. You do. And she said that I wanted to evaporate into my hoodie. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know that feeling. I put up my hood and I try to, you know, because I'm not all pristine and primped and coiffed and whatnot. And I just want to engage socially as minimally as possible, pay for whatever it is I'm getting and leave. And she said, "Do you want some water?" And I was like, "Yeah, if I can pour it over my head," because I was hot. And that was my trigger to not be shamed. And looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, she was trying to embarrass me because, you know, I didn't look like I belonged, what, in a second cup?
John, very briefly, what would you do in that scenario at Starbucks?
Starbucks, if someone said that to me, I'd probably say, hey, look, I'm coming out to you as a sweat susceptible individual. This is who I am. It's part of my identity. The larger thing is, look, we have to reconcile the fact that we have a culture where we're all supposed to look perfect and we're all supposed to be perfectly fit. Being perfectly fit means sweating because it's impossible to be fit unless you get aerobic exercise. We're going to have to find a middle ground. And the middle ground is going to be, that cleft line is going to be found at Starbucks, coffee shops everywhere. We're all going to have to get along, the sweaters and the non-sweaters alike.
All right. Thanks very much to both of you. Shireen Ahmed is a sports activist and writer. We reached her in Mississauga, Ontario. Jonathan Kay is the editor of The Walrus, and he was in our Toronto studio. Now, over to you. What do you think? Have you been sweat shamed? Are we taking the whole shaming phenomenon too far? Find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We're at The Current CBC. You can also send us an email through our website at cbc.ca/thecurrent. Coming up next, after 2 years in a relationship, a woman in Britain discovered the man she'd been dating was actually a woman and a friend. Now, the friend who duped her has been convicted of sexual assault, and transgender activists are worried about how the ruling might affect them. I'm David Common. You're listening to the Friday edition of The Current.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.